Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast. In today's episode, we have the great pleasure of hearing an interview between myself and Caleb Amundsen, where he talks a little bit about what it means to truly be free as a digital nomad and what that looks like. You know, this is quite a deep episode, but it's great fun. I also know that I hope that you will get a lot of value out of it. So without further ado, let's get into it, and I will see you in the next one. Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast. I have a very special guest here with me today. So just to give you a few insights, so today I'm going to be talking to Mr. Caleb Amundsen.
Hello.
And he has been a member of our community for a while now. So Caleb's done a few podcasts already where he's talked about his journey, you know, as a man, but also, you know, his transition into, you know, nomadic life. So what I've done is I'm going to give you all like a brief overview and a brief summary. Caleb can correct me if I've got any of these things incorrect. So a few fun facts about Caleb. So he actually dropped out of college and worked his way up the corporate ladder. He started a side hustle business. I think it's called Ace the 19th Hole LLC, which has grown now to include several different business divisions. He did something quite unique and acquired a business from the company he was working for, which was on its way to bankruptcy. And he, you know, throughout his life, he's overcome mental and physical health challenges to come out wiser, stronger, and highly focused on designing a life that creates a positive impact. He's been travelling for a good while now, with visits to most of the world's continents, and his confidence and strong sense of self has been an asset to this community for, you know, almost 2 years, over 2 years?
Yeah, 2.5.
Yeah? So, with all of that said, Caleb, welcome to the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast.
Thanks. Hello.
I don't know if anyone's done an intro like that for you before. Hopefully it was decent.
No, I have goosebumps, so usually that means it's a good sign.
Yeah, that is excellent. So today what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about is the philosophy that you have right now as a nomadic traveller, person, guy thing, is about this idea of the freedom to contribute. Okay, so for, you know, all of you guys listening, you know, there's a real sense that, you know, a lot of us are free. We're freer than most of our peers in the sense that we can get on a flight, be here today, gone tomorrow. So what I really wanted to ask you, Caleb, you know, is that sense of freedom not enough? You know, what do you feel is the difference between freedom of movement, I guess, and your philosophy, which is the freedom to contribute?
Absolutely. So, you know, to kind of use a story to help engage with everybody listening, it was Morocco, my first chapter with the tribe, going back about 2.5 years. And I remember everybody that was on that tribe, and it was quite an adventure, to leave it very briefly. However, at that time was kind of my intro into the digital nomad lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So with that digital nomad lifestyle, I was pursuing to have freedom. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the focus. And I think a lot of us start with that focus, is just to have freedom. And I actually remember walking, I don't know if we were walking in the streets or it was somewhere within Taghazout, Morocco. And one of the girls on the trip, her name is Brittany Martinson. Mm-hmm. I should really call her a woman because she is just amazing.
Yeah,
she was there at the same time, and I just very kind of immaturely said, "Yeah, I want to have freedom." And she just kind of politely turned to me and she goes, "Caleb, you're in Morocco right now with all of us. Don't you already have freedom? And I remember that very specifically because she was right. Like, I do have freedom. So with that being said, like, it challenged my mindset to really shift my perspective on what does freedom actually mean. Because, yes, I do have freedom right now. The pieces, I still had a few chains were, you know, emotionally based. I had emotional-based chains. I had a boss I was answering to. I had a schedule and meetings and deadlines, and those were all chains. I had freedom of moving wherever I wanted to, but I didn't have the freedom of time. So kind of progressing, you know, 2 months beyond that point in Morocco, ended up being in Florence, as well as I was supposed to go to Croatia. But I wasn't able to go to Croatia because the company I was working for ended up going under. So you had alluded to the company I had acquired, and that's the company I'm referring to.
Right, okay.
I was actually in Florence, and I remember I was in this library. They have this cool library where you can look at the Duomo.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're saying. Gorgeous, yeah.
Beautiful.
I'd highly recommend if you're there.
Absolutely. And so I'm there with the tribe, and this is where I actually met Amanda, who, if you haven't met her yet, she's amazing. But anyways, I am sitting there, and I am kind of looking at this blank sheet of paper and looking at the Duomo, and I'm just like, man, my world is falling apart. I'm not getting paid. My rental property back home, the renters aren't paying rent on it. Like, everything is out of control. I also have an alcohol addiction. I'm drinking constantly. I'm not sleeping. I am basically just falling apart. So, as I was falling apart, you know, I decided to take a little side trip and go see some friends from the U.S. and Greece and kind of split up from the tribe. But on my way home, I decided I wasn't going to just end my trip because my whole entire life was falling apart. I was here, and I should make the best of it. This is for me, and this is an experience. And an experience is way more invaluable than $1 million. Like, it's just priceless. So I continued on my trip going home. And as I was going home, I made a pit stop in Amsterdam to meet up with a fellow Wi-Fi triber, Kieran. Who I'm still dear friends with today. And is just a solid dude. And I met up with him. And him and I were exploring Amsterdam for a couple of days. And just kind of had a good bromance, is what I would refer to it. Just really kind of having a good time as two guys. And anyways, out of that weekend, I was able to walk away from Amsterdam with this idea of the freedom to contribute. And I had it written down just in huge, bold letters in my notebook. And so I ended up coming home to the U.S. with my world completely shattered. But I had this central piece of having this freedom to contribute. And that was really important to me. Because even though my world was completely shattered, and I got home and, like, no money, no anything. I had a rental property. Like, it's destroyed. The people that were renting it destroyed the entire house. And, like, I just spiraled out of control. I was drinking, you know, copious amounts of alcohol. I was eating a lot of food. I put on about 30 to 40 pounds in a matter of like 4 to 8 weeks. And so I'm sitting there in my house, which is just destroyed, and all I have in front of me is this central theme of the freedom to contribute and a million pieces of my life that are just scattered everywhere. And if there's one thing that I bring to the table with any type of complicated mess is, okay, how do we organize all these problems into something that has somewhat of a structure and start putting it back together? So very slowly over the next year, I put that puzzle back together. And it was all based on the foundation of having the freedom to contribute. So I think that effectively answers your question on how that got developed, and I'll leave it up to you to ask a follow-up question to, to try and keep us in alignment here.
So I guess the follow-up question for me is, how would you define, in kind of a few sentences, the difference between the freedom that we already have, and then kind of leveling up to the freedom to contribute. Like, what would you say is the definitive difference between those two things?
The definitive difference in my eyes is, you know, there's one, well, there's multiple pieces, but one piece is an autonomy of time.
Yeah.
Being able to modify my schedule on the fly. Mm-hmm. If I want to go to Japan this afternoon, no one can tell me differently.
Yeah.
I can just go.
Yeah.
I don't have a boss saying I can't go. I don't have monetary restrictions kind of keeping me back.
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm, you know, monetarily there. I have credit card points. I play that game. So yeah. I could just book a flight and go.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, is that time autonomously. But to go a step beyond that, I want to help out local communities. Mm-hmm. And I think as nomads, we do a really good job of trying to integrate with a local economy and go out to eat and making sure we're supporting the local economy. But I like to take things a step further.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm working on a project and I'm working in a cafe, yes, I'm buying food from that cafe. But something that's very helpful for me when it comes to thinking and processing problems and trying to think like logistically through things, if I get to a point where I write down a question and I just don't know the answer to it, what I go ahead and end up doing is I get up and I go walk around.
Yeah.
I walk around the local community.
Mm-hmm.
I buy fruits and vegetables from the local community. I might buy a plant from some guy on the side of the street.
Yeah.
I'll say hi to somebody. And I'm going to give you an example. Last week I was at a co-working event.
Mm-hmm.
And the women that put the co-working event together are spectacular. And they had a really cool format. It was very much like a project management type thing, like work for 45 minutes and then everybody have a roundup or a stand-up.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have anything like big I needed to work on. I was more or less chewing on problems.
Mm-hmm.
So while everybody was working, I took a walk around the neighborhood. And by walking around the neighborhood, I was getting a physical workout.
Yeah.
But I stopped into a motorbike shop,
mm-hmm,
and helped a guy fix a bike.
Wow. Okay.
And I was only with him for 10 minutes, but I have that background. I know how to fix cars. I know how to fix golf carts. just different levels of the same problem. And I just helped him.
Yeah.
I went and got a haircut. Just a nice little beard trim. And with all these guys, I just talked to them. Like, what's your name? How long have you been here? Like, just the simple things.
Yeah.
And then another thing I like to do is I like to find a container on the side of the road, pick it up, and start picking up trash.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be tons. Just, like, as much as I can carry in one bag. And then stop in a restaurant and pass it off.
Yeah.
And then once I'm done walking around, and, like, at the same time, ideas are being, like, poured into my head.
Mm-hmm.
And as ideas are coming to my head, I'm being... making sure my phone's right there and those ideas are going right into my phone.
Yeah.
Because the quicker I can get something off my mind and into a different location, the quicker I can move on to something else.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around, I'm picking up trash, I'm helping this guy fix his bike, and I'm carrying this fresh fruit I just bought.
Mm-hmm.
When I see this homeless person, and it's this guy and his two children, and I'm looking at these kids who are like 6, 7 years old, and it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? I give them the fruit that I just bought from a local person that grew it locally.
Yeah.
Like, that has created now a cycle,
mm-hmm,
where I'm able to walk around and run my businesses from my phone. So I'm still working. I'm getting a physical workout. But I'm also giving back to the local community in a much larger aspect.
Yeah. And that's the difference then between just being free to do what you want to do,
yeah,
and then also having that freedom to... contribute to, yeah, your local surroundings or, yeah, whatever that looks like, you know, for you in terms of giving back. So,
correct.
No, all right, that's brilliant. So I think you've gone into depth there and started answering other questions that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Always over delivering, Caleb. So I guess, you know, what I'm sensing there from what you're saying is that, you know, there needs to be a little bit of a mindset shift. Less of me, and more of how. What can I give? How can I serve? How can I, you know, actually impact other people? So, what kind of mindset shifts do we need to have? You know, as a community of nomads, you know, what kind of mindset shifts do we need to have to move from just being free to being free to contribute? Were there any, do you think there are any like mental blockers or anything that we might need to overcome or things to consider to get to that point where it becomes second nature for you to think, let me speak to this lady here or give this person my fruit or whatever?
You really want to open Pandora's box, don't you?
I will keep you to time. Don't worry, I'm regimented. So you know I'll keep you. So just
No. It's a great question, and when I say it's a great question, I think it's like the perfect question because it's getting more to the root of the problem versus just throwing out some words that sound beautiful like a marketing message. Because the root of the problem, it is psychological. It is a mental thing. So if we're going to dive into that topic, we need to understand ourselves, and I'm going to do this from a logical disposition. Just because I think it makes the most sense to most people here. And I'm going to use one of the Wi-Fi tribers who is infamous in this group as an example. And his name is Kent.
Oh, Kent, yes.
Oh, man.
We'll get Kent on this podcast at some point. Kent, we're coming for you.
He's probably already listening, knowing him.
Don't say that. That's kind of freaking me out a little.
I got to throw you out there once every once in a while. Now.
Good Lord. Yeah.
But no, Kent is the perfect example of someone that has all the logical capabilities to run and operate a business. But I've never met a man that so ferociously follows his heart. He knows what he wants, and he goes after it. But with such passion.
Yeah.
But he's also very free with his time. Like, I remember being in Morocco. Excuse me. I remember being in Morocco with him, and, you know, he was basically being called the Insta-husband. All the girls would take him with them, and they would take pictures of each other, and, you know, Kent never wanted a picture of himself.
Yeah.
He wanted to take pictures of others, and that's just, that encapsulates, you know, what I'm going to be kind of talking about here. So, from a logical disposition, as humans, we're wired at an emotional and logical level.
Yeah.
That's how our bodies are physiologically set up, okay? To give you examples, we have two hemispheres for brain, your left and your right, okay? You got two arms, your right and your left arm. You got 2 feet, left and right foot. You have 2 nostrils for breathing. You got 2 eyes. Well, all of those pieces are interconnected into one single system, or into one single CPU, computer, if you want to call it like that.
Yeah.
But let's look at what we have one of. We have one heart. We have one mouth. Okay? We have one sexual system. Okay? If we're trying to... So, some pieces have 2 components, and some pieces just have 1 component. But everything is interconnected. Absolutely everything. So, I'm going to use the example of a computer for a second.
Okay.
So, if we understand that we are logically and emotionally wired... Well, in theory, a computer is logically wired.
Yes.
It is a bunch of computer components put together to provide you with a UI to you to operate. So if we were looking at a MacBook computer in front of us, and just like a laptop, and we're looking at the front end and the operating system, well, that front end is like you looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
You're looking in the mirror and you can see yourself. You're looking at your laptop, you can see your laptop in the operating system. But when you're looking in the mirror, you don't see the internal workings of your brain.
Right.
You don't see the gears. You don't see your heart. You don't see all the internal organs.
Yeah.
You don't see any of that. All you see is the outward representation of what's internal.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at the mirror, or if I'm looking at my computer, and something's happening to that computer... Well, now I need to go into the back end and reprogram it. So if I'm going to reprogram the back end of a computer, now I got to know the right language to code it.
Okay.
I got to know the programmatic language to fix the back end of the laptop.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we take that analogy and we think about ourselves looking in the mirror.
Yes.
How do we reprogram our own brain, which leads to your operating system? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you reprogram that? Well, these are all things we've heard about. And we hear about people doing yoga, we hear about people meditating, but from a logical perspective is really what we need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at ourselves internally, how do we efficiently, mm-hmm. and I use that word very potently, yeah. how do we efficiently reprogram ourselves
mm-hmm.
and reprogram our internal operating system?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where meditation comes in.
Okay.
So meditating is all about lowering the frequency
yep.
of your brain
mm-hmm.
to an efficient standpoint where you can rewire yourself neurologically.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little bit more in depth.
Okay.
Or do you want to ask a question?
Do you know what? Actually, no, continue. Continue, because you're answering my follow-up question, and then what we'll do at the end is round up. Like particular mindset shifts that I might be able to draw out of what you're saying. So do continue.
Okay. So since we're talking about rewiring ourselves neurologically, we're talking about meditation. Let's talk about what that means from a logical disposition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a pop culture scale,
yeah.
like a lot of things are being thrown out like, hey man, good vibes, or man, you got good energy,
mm-hmm.
like, good vibrations, or this is chill music. Well, those are all frequencies, right? Those are all just different levels of music at different frequencies.
Yeah.
Well, your brain operates off of frequencies as well.
Right.
And is very okay. susceptible to frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're discussing now is what's the most efficient frequency for you to reprogram your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
That's what we're talking about right now.
All right.
So right now we're in this conversation. We're in this analytical briefing, you know, Let's figure out the best way to solve this project. Okay, we're in an analytical feedback hertz, which is what you would call your beta state.
Yep.
Okay, it's between about 20 to 30 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
As you lower yourself into a more relaxed state,
mm-hmm.
that's when we get into your alpha state.
Right.
Your alpha okay. state is where you're just kind of very chill and like enjoying yourself. Like nothing in the world could impact you because you're just in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the meditation state is below alpha state, and that's what we call your theta state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your theta state, and for all you engineer and logical people that know all this 100%, is between about 2.5 to 3.5 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it might be 2.5 to 5 hertz. If I'm wrong, I'm okay with being wrong. Okay, I correct myself all the time.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting to that theta state is when you're shutting off all of your sensory inputs,
mm-hmm.
touching, smelling, seeing, hearing. You shut down all of those sensors,
mm-hmm.
but you're still aware of your subconscious.
Yeah.
You're still aware of what's going on subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And in that state is how you can reprogram yourself neurologically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically what people are referring to in terms of getting to a meditative state.
Yeah.
A lot of people throw out the things like, you know, just take a raisin and chew on the raisin and feel the raisin and hear the raisin. And yeah, that's important. But how do you reprogram yourself to not feel anxiety?
Yeah.
How do you reprogram yourself to not feel depression?
Yeah.
How do you reprogram yourself and all these negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
which are not good for the world? They're not good for the universe. They're not good for this earth.
Yeah.
Because those negative emotions, they don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take something that might be an anxiety and turn it into a feeling of love?
Yeah.
Compassion.
Okay.
And that's what we're talking about right now. And that rabbit hole gets deep quick.
Okay. So let me stop you there then, just to summarize, because I feel like you've answered both of those questions inadvertently there that I had. So essentially what we're talking about in terms of mindset shifts, it's about being able to reprogram the negative emotions that would maybe stop you from stepping out of the box a little bit and maybe, you know, maybe approaching that guy in a garage with his bike and saying, hey, can I help you? Or if you could like kind of summarize the kind of mindset shifts that we're talking about. So you're saying from anxiety to a place of love, from I don't know, fear to a place of courage. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about that's been kind of instrumental in your development as, you know, as Caleb, like?
Yeah. 100%. 120%.
Yeah.
And if you were to talk to people that know me well, you know, they know me as someone that's just always going to be positive.
Yeah.
You can throw any negative situation at me, and I'll find some way to find a silver lining.
Yeah.
Because that's just how my brain operates. And mm-hmm. I think a positive mindset is a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
But there's more layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wake up every morning, I have a very solid foundation for my morning routine,
mm-hmm.
which does include a meditative state. It includes journaling.
Yeah.
It includes being grateful mm-hmm. for things. Like specifically, I was extremely grateful for my left sock this morning. And the reason why I was grateful for it is because I was playing basketball yesterday.
Yeah.
And the left sock protected my foot from getting a blister.
No way. Yeah.
It's so, like, I was very... I was like, man, like, my sock kept my foot from getting a blister.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so thankful.
But imagine, you know, getting to that level of gratitude. There'd be so few things that could get you down.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, even for the plants that are in our environment right here,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I grab water and I put it in a pot and I listen to music and...
Yeah.
It's just usually just very relaxing, calming music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go and water all the plants.
Yeah.
And just be like, thank you, plant, for providing me with some oxygen to breathe so I can live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because that's what the earth likes. You know, when we're talking about the sustainable stuff, mm-hmm. the earth likes it when we start sending out this positive love.
Yeah.
And the love languages, and, you know, there are things like being grateful,
mm-hmm.
showing compassion. I think a big love language that a lot of people miss is listening.
Yep.
You were given 2 ears to listen
mm-hmm.
and 1 mouth to talk. So use them appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. That is very good. I was listening to some of the podcasts that you've done, and that was a point, actually, that, you know, other folks that have interviewed you have pulled out. You know, it's a mantra for life, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think because you've casually answered the questions that I had, I'm going to ask you now, in the, you know, minutes that we've got left, can you talk a little bit about how you yourself would like to impact the world?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. I'm currently in the middle of it as we are speaking.
Yeah.
So, right now, my two companies that we've talked about, I'm in the middle of transitioning out of the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Handing the reins over to other individuals. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to actually talk about the company that I started with my business partner, and his name is Chad. Like, that man is my heart. Like,
we love you, Chad.
Yeah. Just he is incredible. He keeps me in line.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have this crazy idea or, like, some sort of sales tactic that I want to use, and he'll be like, dude, I don't think that's right. And he's just, like, my ethical compass. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for that because it really keeps me on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
So him and I are in the middle of trying to figure out how we can help the business grow and leverage both of our strengths.
Yeah.
And it's difficult as an entrepreneur when you start something that's your baby to make those types of strategical moves, we'll call them right now.
Yeah.
And the other company I started, acquired, and in that company what is going on is going back to the freedom to contribute. What I have done is I actually hired somebody that I met in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
She's a local.
Yeah.
She wants to be a digital nomad.
Okay.
I met her, and within like 5 seconds of meeting her, I knew I was going to hire her.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it in my gut. And her name is Julieta. Hi, Julieta.
Hey, Julieta.
So she is just a rock star. Mm-hmm. Like, so helping her out kind of take over some of the duties that I have with that company. So I'm doing that over the next 45 days, and simultaneously to that, I am getting my Instagram profile going, but that's more of my philosophy on life. There is no effort for monetary gain.
Yeah.
It's just my philosophy. I can't tell you how many philosophical works that I've read that have helped me on my journey.
Yeah.
Aristotle, Leonardo da Vinci, Steve Jobs, Albert Einstein, all these guys. I see them giving back everything they know. And the best thing I can do is to give back what I know. But to do it in such a way where if you see the value in what I'm providing and not all the pitfalls and how the strategy's laid out, but you see the value, you're the type of person that I want to work with.
Yeah.
Because you get it.
Yeah.
Because I'm after the knowing more and having the wisdom to know more. And wisdom means having both knowledge and experiences combined. And I got that from Aristotle. I didn't make that up. That was just Aristotle's perspective. Excuse me. So, going from there, as I'm building this philosophical work, I'm also moving into the nonprofit area. So, the nonprofit area is more along the lines of developing future leaders.
Yeah.
I have no desire to be the face of anything.
Yeah.
I have the desire to help those that have all the potential to be a leader of a company.
Yeah.
And I would love to come in at 0.5% to 10% equity or passive income 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want money. If I'm given money, I'll make sure it gets to the right place efficiently to make sure it's helpful for the environment. And I'm building that nonprofit knowing full while that I have companies 5, 6, 7, and 8 built in my head.
Yeah.
I know the next, no, I shouldn't say I know. I have a sense of feeling of where things are moving over the next 2 to 4 years. And I am sitting at the intersection of the evolution of the workforce, the metamorphosis, as it were, of how we work.
Yeah.
Digital nomads and working remotely is the future.
Yes.
The infrastructure has been built to have that happen.
Yeah.
So I want to help people do that, but I also want to get back to the environment. So the projects that I'm looking at entail a lot of different topics. And I'm trying to creatively intertwine areas like quantum physics to DNA modification.
Yeah.
Now, when I'm talking about DNA modification, I'm not talking about, like, in a lab. I'm talking about, like, neurologically, how do you rewire yourselves to be the best version of your own DNA?
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Yeah, I can see how that would pan out for all manner of things.
Yeah.
You know, people's mental health, the ability to move yourself out of poverty, change whole nations. I can see how that would be an awesome thing to get into, So, is that, I guess, like, that's a lot, Galen. That's a lot. That's entirely inspirational, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I think, first off, before we finish, where can people find out more about what you're doing and about your travels? Give me things like your website, Instagram handle, all of that stuff.
Yeah, my Instagram handle is Bring Your Journey Home. You're free to reach out to me there, but if you just want to know more about me, I would just go through the content. Every single piece of content on there has been done from, like, a perspective of short, succinct, and, like, precise. But you can also reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me on Facebook. On Facebook, I'm Caleb Luke Amundsen, which is my full name in its entirety. I am embracing the fact that we live in a world where nothing's private anymore.
Okay.
And I have decided that nothing in my life is private. My life is an open book. So you can find me on Facebook there. My business entities are golfcartresource.com. That's the digital media publication I started with Chad, whom I mentioned earlier. My other business, which is in e-commerce, within the small task oriented vehicle industry in the US, that's called Cart Pros. So you can find me there as well. You can also find me, which one am I missing? I think it's all of them, isn't it?
Have you told me Yeah, we've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, your website, Bring Your Journey Home.
Oh, yeah, bringyourjourneyhome.com. Yeah, so you can reach out to me on bringyourjourneyhome.com, which is, you know, the basis of any of my companies is I am not afraid to change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all my companies are always ever evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bring Your Journey Home, I like the framework it has right now, is admitting the right feeling, and more will be added to it. So okay. You can also find me through the Wi-Fi Tribe.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be on all the internal networks of Wi-Fi Tribe that they have to offer too.
Yes.
So.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Caleb. I don't think I've got any more questions. Yeah, thank you so much for your time, because I know how much you value your time, so I'm really appreciative that you've been able to talk to us today.
Yeah, I value your time as well.
Well, you know. So if you're listening for the first time, you can find out more information about Wi-Fi Tribe on our website, wifitribe.co. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, the whole shebang, the whole works. Thank you for tuning in, and we shall see you again in the next one. Bye!
Bye.